Welcome back. My name is Alicia.
And I'm Liv.
And you're listening to TBR,
the podcast where we both drink and spill the tea on books from your TBR lists.
This episode, we are reviewing the second half of Serpent and Dove by Shelby Morin.
Yeah, we're back, guys.
We are.
So before we get started, TBR check-in. How you doing?
I had a lot of pizza tonight, so
yeah, we had a big dinner.
We did have a very big dinner.
I'm so full.
Right, same. But it's fine because I'm going to hibernate soon, so I need it to save up me energy.
Bit of a food coma, I think, for
right,
me.
Right, right. How are you?
Yeah, I'm not too bad. I've had quite a good week. It's been exhausting. I've been doing a lot of house inspections because yes, I'm moving back to the city soon. So I'm getting ready for that. And met up with some high school friends today.
Yes.
And we read in the park.
We did. It was really fun.
Yeah, it was super lovely. It was super good.
I miss reading with people, just like chilling, and then you can talk in the middle of it, but it's not like an interruption because you're just in the park, like looking at the flowers and just spending time together.
Yeah.
I'm quite excited for you to move back to the city.
I think it'll be really good. I'm super excited to like check out more op shops.
Yes.
Especially for books. Like secondhand books are phenomenal.
Yes. You definitely need to go to Savers because it has amazing book options.
Yes. I have browsed briefly, but again, since like, I don't know, I did a lot of traveling between rural Victoria and Melbourne last year. I wasn't able to buy too many books.
Yeah, fair. And also you lived at college too, and I feel like that like takes up most of someone's time.
Exactly. And plus like there's not much space in a college dorm. I don't know if you guys live in it or if you've seen college dorms, but yeah, pretty shoeboxy.
It's like the residential, like I think in America and stuff they call university college. But yeah.
Ours is like the residence for university students.
Yeah, like you sleep there.
Yeah.
Can't put your, like, 1,000-book bookshelf in there.
No, you can't.
No.
I had to very carefully select, like, my top 10 faves.
Right.
There was no space. It was so bad, honestly, being parted with my children.
At least you got to come back and see them every week.
True. Check-ins, TBR check-ins. Hey, guys, how you doing? Yeah. Sound of rustling pages.
This book is doing great. Sounding very crispy today.
Mm-hmm. Also something that's super exciting, we participated in the Bookish Vault's bookmark reveal lately.
Yes.
So you can head over to our Instagram to see the photos we took for that. We were in charge of revealing the Magnetic bookmarks and the Raven Cycle bookmarks, which are absolutely stunning.
Oh, they are. I'm looking at them right now and I love them so much.
If you guys haven't already, go check out the Bookish Vault. You can use our code TBR10 for a discount.
Yes, we would never suggest something to you unless we knew that the quality and the vibe was exactly what you guys are going to be looking for. It definitely passes the vibe check, and it's literally something that I would be so happy to receive for my birthday, which I did, which I love.
I'm literally addicted.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And also, we were big fans of the Bookish Vault before they sent anything for us.
Yes. Literally, I've spent so much money on the Bookish Vault.
Same.
And Steph's so lovely, so get around it, guys.
She is lovely. What tea are you drinking today?
I am drinking, I feel like I failed you guys, honestly. I am back to drinking my comfort tea, black tea with a bit of milk, but only because, like, dinner was so big and I feel...
It was.
I feel a little bit like I could be, like, Baymax, just, like, rolling around, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like this is just going to help calm the stomach a little bit.
Yeah, very good.
What about you?
I'm the exact same. I'm drinking peppermint tea because I feel like I might explode.
Helps with digestion.
It definitely helps with digestion.
But for the sake of the podcast, let's pretend we're having the same tea that we had earlier this week.
Yeah, exactly.
I had chai tea with honey stirred in.
Yes, and I had orange and cinnamon.
Yeah, pretending we aren't failing you guys.
Yeah, exactly. We're very sorry.
So before we get started into reviewing the actual book, again, like all the episodes, this is going to include major spoilers for the second half of Serpent and Dove. If you don't want spoilers, this is not the episode for you.
No.
I mean, if you haven't read it, would recommend you don't listen. But if you like spoilers, sure, go ahead and listen.
Yeah.
We can't tell you what to do.
Exactly. Sometimes I listen to podcasts of book reviews that I haven't read yet, you know, just to get the vibe.
Yeah. I could never. If they were spoiler free, then fine.
Yeah, but if it's a book that I'm never going to read and I like the people, then I'm like, oh, I better do it.
That's fair.
Like them. So if you like us.
Come and listen to us.
Don't mind the tea spilling. Go for it.
So let's jump straight into it. So last week we finished off and we learnt that Monsieur Bernard from the infirmary kind of witchy place situation had tried to jump out of a window, I believe.
Yeah, so Father Orville was kind of just like, hey, I know you're just chit-chatting next to my friend who's in a coma, but just letting you know what happened to him.
Anyway, so this second half begins with Lou and Reed heading off to the theatre to watch La Vie en Famille.
Yes.
Which is the play based off Reed's favourite book.
Yes, the one where, you know, they're not liking each other at the start and then they have to work together and then they like each other and then they die at the end. Perfect book. So they're at the theatre now and Lou's decided to wear Angelica's ring on her right hand to, you know, spite him a little bit.
Yeah, she's definitely doing it to piss him off.
Yeah, I like that she has this upper hand on him.
Definitely. So they sit down in their seats and Lou's kind of seated next to this man, and since he notices the ring's not on the traditional ring finger, he's like flirting a little and he's kind of all like, you know, hey there, gorgeous. And Reed is like, no, bitch.
Yeah.
That's my wife.
She my wife. But I love a good French man like coming at me at the theater. Like, sexy.
I guess, but I think he's like an older man.
Doesn't matter.
Oh, you'll go for anyone. You love
Charlie Swan. Like,
I do.
He'd be like Charlie Swan age.
Yeah, but I feel like Charlie Swan is just such a cinnamon roll.
Yeah.
Whereas this man is like...
This man might have been a cinnamon roll.
Like, I get the impression that maybe he's like 50 going after, what, 20-year-old Lou. Oh. Like, I feel like he's a bit creepy.
Yeah, that's a little bit.
But either way, it is what it is, I guess.
Yeah, but Reed knew. Reed was like, no, this is too creepy for my wife.
He's literally like, switch seats with me now.
Yeah.
I want to switch seats, Lou. Oh, please.
Oh, he's getting a little bit defensive.
Tell you what, he probably wants to, like, hold hands with the man.
Yeah, true. He's like, he's mine. He's so like,
that
smooth.
Is my type, Lou. Hands off.
Yeah. So during the performance, they're enjoying it a lot. Like, this is something that they've bonded over, and I think it's kind of the first thing that they've really had in common, and that means a lot. Like, when you first find that one thing that you really, really bond with someone over, you cling onto it like a lifeline. And so they're both enjoying this performance, but then in the middle of it, Reed kind of, you know, sidebars with her a little bit and is like, oh, also, why were you looking for me today? Because if we remember earlier on, Ansel's like, what are you doing, Lou? What you doing? And she's like, I want a knife to protect myself. And so she was like, yeah, I was just looking for a knife. And Reed's like, oh yeah, because Jean-Luc was like, yo, your wife be looking for ya. Mm-hmm. Why do you want a knife? And she's like, to protect myself. And he's like, I'll protect ya. And she's like, you lanky boy ain't gonna protect me.
We all know Reed is not lanky though.
Well, she better go off with French Charlie Swan because he could protect her.
He could. I get the impression that, like, Lou and Reed are, like, the most annoying couple ever at the cinema.
Yeah, they, you know, like, talk.
Whispering kind of loudly, though, to each other and maybe even, like, kissing in the back row.
Well, not yet.
No, but they will. We all know they will. The sexual tension, astronomical. Mwah. Oh, chef's kiss.
So good. I love it.
And then, as this conversation's kind of going down, Reed, I think, holds Lou's hand and he's, like, stroking her hand with the back of his thumb and it's, like, really nice and he's, like, I guess swirling patterns up her arm, and Lou's like, oh my goodness, I'm getting a little hot and flustered here. And I'm pretty sure he does that for like the whole of the first act. And then intermission arrives and they both just stay there seated in their seats holding hands. And she's like, I don't want to move because I
am horny.
Exactly.
I'm so confused as to how the tension is resolving like this. Like, everything just happens so suddenly. Like, all of a sudden, he's just okay with doing sensual touches on her body. Like, at the start, he wouldn't even, like, touch her in the bath.
I know. I'm confused. Like, a little bit abrupt.
Yeah.
But I love it.
Yeah, I love it too. But I do wish there was a little bit more build up. Like, I wish... I don't know, like, she didn't even really flirt with him, like, at no point, like, she, like, casually touches Ansel, she's like, oh,
no, but I feel like Lou's flirting is, like, a teasing flirting, and she's been doing that the whole book.
Oh, yeah, but I just mean physically, like, he is really conservative, and then all of a sudden he's, like, drawing circles. Also, I'm pretty sure they fought, like, not long ago, so I'm like, what?
I mean, it's a little abrupt. I think that also the theatre's a really good place for them to have those initial little saucy touches because it's, like, dark and they can't see each other.
Yeah, it's actually the best.
Yeah, and I feel like I can picture a reading that, like, they don't look at each other or anything. They're just, like, eyes on the stage. Just, like, some sneaky hand movements. They're not too sneaky.
Really good.
Low-key sneaky. Either way, I'm here for it.
Oh, same. No, I love it. And I love how she built all the tension and stuff. It was just, it took me by surprise because I was like, I thought they just argued and now he's like putting the moves on her.
Well, I feel like it has built up a little bit, to be honest. A little,
but I wish it was smoother.
Yeah, look, that's fair. Yeah. That's fair. I can understand that.
Thank you.
I do think I need to have a reread at some point because now I feel like I know a lot of it from your perspective and I didn't interpret it that way at all.
Ah, well, I think most people interpreted the way that you did. I think I interpret things wrong like all the time.
I think maybe I was just so excited for some action that I didn't even think about anything else.
Yeah, maybe.
I was ready.
Who knows? So during this intermission, obviously, again, a lot of tension is happening. So they're about to kiss. And they're kind of leaning into each other and, like, testing the waters, I guess.
I think he's, like, moistening his lips. Yeah, and there's a lot of, like, eyes flickering. Oh, oh my God. I was so ready for some action.
Same. But also, sidebar, I get really freaked out if a guy's going in for a kiss with me and he starts moistening his lips. Like, it makes me...
Licking his lips?
Yeah, I hate it.
That's like, not it?
Do it where when I'm not looking. Like, it's just so... Like,
what do you want him to do? Like, sorry, excuse me, let me just turn away.
No, but okay, I'm all good, guys. I feel like is that, like, the parcel tongue thing where it's like, I asked that because I'm like, stop licking your lips. Don't do it. Like, that's probably why, like, that's probably why what's about to happen, which is then Lou backs away. Like, she's probably like, oh, I've just been distracted by someone, but it's actually because she actually just got put off by... Reed licking his lips.
But I don't think it's like a really obvious thing. I think it's like a tongue dart out situation. I feel like that's
even...
No! No. Not that.
He should already have lip balm on. Like,
no, I picture kind of just like, you know, when you might have like a little bit of food in the corner of your mouth, it's just like a quick little like... Yeah.
Yeah, like Barty Crouch with that when sound. He got found. That's my son.
Stop. You made such a lovely moment.
No, I get it. I'm just saying, like, every time I read something like that, I'm always like, oh, I wish you hadn't described it. Like, I just wish it wasn't written.
I'm here for it.
Now all I'm
to be honest, I really like it because it's like a, you know what their intentions are.
Yeah, I know. But I, you know what? The parts that I enjoy most about the, you know, building up and stuff, and even, like, when they're about to kiss, is if they say, like, his eyes lingered on my lips.
As like, he I moistened like his own lips.
Yeah, but I just prefer something to dampen it. Like, even if he said that and then also he moistened his own lips, it, like, adds up instead of just them staring at each other and coming closer, and then she's like, oh, we're about to kiss. Oh, no, he's just moistening his lips. Like, it just freaks me out. Not that I like crusty-lipped men, but, like... Make it discreet. Anyways, those are my preferences. I'm not Lou. She can do whatever she wants.
I mean, yeah, you and I are two different sides. I don't mind it. I think it's fine.
Yeah, I don't know.
Anyway, moving on.
Yes.
Lou does indeed back away, but because she notices that the performer on stage is the same one who originally tried to help her when Reed high-key tackled her and the whole... wife-husband thing began.
Yeah, so she's on stage and she's like, stay away from them crusty lips.
No, she's not.
No, she's not. Lou recognizes her.
You just can't get over the crusty lips.
Like, moist lips.
It's a no from you.
Yeah, I like them strong lips, but not crusty, just like perfect.
That's a lot to ask.
Oh, well.
Anyways, she notices the woman on stage. And she's getting a lot of flashbacks because she can see her, like, twirling and stuff. She's like, this is such a deja vu feeling. And she realizes that she's actually a witch who she was friends with when she was younger. And yes. Her name is Estelle.
Yes. And she's, like, freaking out about it.
She is. And Reed's like, are you okay there? And she's like, I'm fine. Let's just sit down and watch. And she sits, like, rigid for the rest of the performance. And then they're kind of clapping the performers at the end. And Lou stands up and she's like, okay. And Reed's like, are you quite right there? Like, we're still clapping them. She's like, I'm just really tired. I gotta go.
Yeah, I gotta go put some lip balm on after your crusty lips.
Oh my God, they didn't even kiss. Calm down.
They didn't. But yeah, she gets really, really freaked out because she does not want to be found out. Because she just went ages kind of roasting witches at the same time as defending them. So if she gets found out now, it's not going to look good at all.
So Reed's like, yeah, okay, whatever. We can leave then. And the two of them head out. But as they're leaving, they bump into Estelle. And Estelle's like, oh, hi, I remember you. You're the one with the husband that, like, high-key attacked you. And Lou's like, yeah, it's my husband. She's like, are you okay? Like, are you going to be fine? And Reed's obviously so fed up with Estelle because obviously one of the most traumatic experiences of his entire life.
Him getting framed.
And he's like, Lou, let's go. And Estelle's like, Lou? Lou?
Mm.
And she's like, haha, that's me.
That's me.
That's me. Thanks so much, Reed, for blowing my cover.
Yeah, I'm that witch. Been that witch. Still that witch.
Forever gonna be that witch. And then I think Reed tries to pull Lou away or something, and Estelle's like, not gonna happen, and blasts some magic into Reed and basically just flings him away. I think he's, like, dazed a little bit.
Yeah.
And Estelle's like, Lou, come on, you've got to come back. Like, yada, yada, yada.
Mm-hmm.
And then Reed wakes up or comes to his senses or whatever and ends up, I think, almost strangling her. He knocks her out.
Yeah.
And Lou's like, oh my God, what are you going to do to her? And he's like, it's a witch. We have to burn it.
Yes.
And Lou does not vibe with that, and she's feeling very overwhelmed.
Oh, yeah, and she's traumatized, and she also feels incredibly guilty.
Mm-hmm.
And so the next morning, it's like a ceremonial burning, I guess, and so everyone's gathered at the courtyard, and Estelle's obviously, like, strung up, being burnt alive, and she's screaming, and Lou is with Ansel, I guess, like, further away. Like,
I think she's in the tower somewhere.
Yeah, she's in the tower, and she's just watching Estelle, this witch that she knows, being burnt alive. And they make eye contact, but Estelle's, like, screaming. Like, she's literally just dying the worst death ever. And I think Lou just feels so guilty because, I mean, she was kind of instrumental in Estelle getting found. Like, Estelle was trying to, like, protect her, first of all, and recognized her. And so, yeah, I think Lou's guilt just made her take over most of the pain that Estelle was feeling.
She did some of her funky witch shit, and she, like, did the whole linking patterns thing. And remember, I think we spoke about it briefly, you have to exchange something, I guess, like yes. Pay a price. So in order to take away Estelle's pain from the burning, Lou has to take it on.
Yes.
And so Ansel stands there and I guess watches as Lou just like writhes on the ground in pain as she burns up from the inside.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, it's horrid.
Oh, it'd be awful. But I understand why she'd do it.
I also just kind of want to backtrack a little bit. The fact that Reed always calls witches it, like, that's, I find that an issue in itself.
Yeah, except I just feel like it breeds such good character development.
Oh, definitely. But I mean, like, the first thing you do when you want to get to someone.
Yeah. Is dehumanizing them.
Exactly. Yeah. You call it and make it feel like it's not worth.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I don't know. And I guess that's how Reed justifies burning witches and hunting witches.
I mean, it's the way that he's been brought up, and also he's an orphan, so I guess his entire life he's wanted to fit in somewhere. So if the people that he's with, that he's looked up to his entire life, call them it and have such passions about this. He adopts
their beliefs and views.
Oh, absolutely, because he does not want to be alone. So yeah. I get it, but like the way that he treats them is obviously awful.
I feel so horrid for Estelle.
Yeah.
Like, what a absolutely awful way to go.
Oh, absolutely. But also, you know what? Like, Lou took on some of her pain, so she needs to stop complaining.
Oh my God.
I'm kidding. No.
I just feel like, obviously I have not experienced dying before.
No.
But I feel like, even being shot, I feel like that's a pretty quick experience.
Yeah. Oh, they say burning alive or drowning is the worst.
Absolute worst way
literally
to go.
The worst.
That'd be horrid.
I think they said burning was worse because drowning, you pass out.
Yeah, from water filling your lungs.
Yeah, or just holding your
breath.
Whereas
burning
whatever.
Is literally your flesh sizzling off. Yeah. Ugh, that would be horrid.
Right. Anyways, so naturally, Lou passes out and she's unconscious. And when she wakes up, she sees that she's, you know, on her bed. And Reed is just kind of asleep, like, next to her. And it looks like he's been by her side for, like, a very long time. Like, I think they
That's
were, like...
so cute.
Yeah, and he was, like, holding her hand and everything. But Lou still feels extremely guilty because, you know, she feels like she played a really bad part in the burning of Estelle.
Yes, I'm pretty sure Estelle called her a witch killer before she obviously got burnt.
Yeah.
And Lou's just like repeating this in her mind. She's like, oh, witch killer, witch killer, witch killer.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is obviously the worst possible title you could give.
As a witch.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And Reed kind of wakes up and he's a bit panicked because Lou's been out for like 3 days.
Yeah.
But he just doesn't understand why she was so upset with the witch burning. And he's all like, witches aren't people, they're like monsters and yada, yada, yada. And Lou basically calls him out. She's like, Estelle is a she, not an it.
Yeah.
Which is a woman. Like, stop dehumanizing them.
Yeah.
But at the same time, obviously, she still feels so guilty about what she's done.
Yeah, but I think at this point, she not forgets, but she just, like, doesn't even care if he's like, why are you so passionate about witches? Like, this whole time, she's been like, yeah, witches are people, like, witches are chill. But at this point, she's like, I'm literally fully defending them. I don't care what you think, because I feel terrible.
And plus, she's just been out for 3 days. Like, she's probably still a little bit groggy.
She might be a bit hangry.
Exactly.
And Reed is like, no, they are not people. This is the way that it is. Like, they're literally horrible, horrible creatures. It does not deserve to be in this world. We have to hunt them down. And Lou's like, but what if I was a witch?
Like, and he's like, well, guess I gotta burn ya.
Yeah. And he's like, well, then you're not an actual person. So too bad.
Reed.
I know.
That is not how you win a woman's heart.
No, you were just stroking her arm and now you're like...
We've done a bit of a U-turn.
Yeah.
We've chucked a Yui.
Chucked a Yui. Anyways.
Lou has like a bit of an inner monologue situation going on and she's remembering her mother. And this is when we find out that Lou's mother is Madame de Saussure's, which again is like the mother of all witches.
Yes.
And we also learn that when Lou dies... all of the king's line dies as well. So that's heirs, bastards, everyone.
Yeah, so she got to make them babies, otherwise no one's going to carry on the bloodline.
That's why Reed's there.
Yeah.
She's like, well, got to recruit someone.
Right. So after this little inner monologue where we get to learn a bit more about Lou, Coco actually pops in for a visit.
She's like, what's up, bitch? It's been a hot second since I've seen you.
It's been 3 days and I miss ya. And I think Coco kind of knows, because obviously she's a witch too, and they've grown up together. And so she's like, you know what would make my bestie feel a lot better? I'm going to fix this situation with some of them sticky buns.
100%. The way to lose heart is sticky buns.
Right. What would be the food that you'd bring me?
If I had to cheer you up after being in a coma for 3 days?
Yeah.
Oh, I know what I'd bring you. It's such a basic thing, and I honestly don't even think you like it that much, but I would bring you, like, a piece of toast with Biscoff spread on it.
Oh my gosh, that's the dream. No, I'd love that.
Really?
Yeah.
I love Biscoff. I don't know if you guys have ever had it. Biscoff's like a biscuit. It's a bit of a cinnamony biscuit, but I've only just recently discovered there's a spread. Like, it's like Nutella, but it's cinnamony. Oh, it's amazing.
It's so good. Liv introduced me to it and I have not looked back.
It's so great.
It is.
So yeah, I'd bring you some toast with speculoos.
Okay.
What about me? What would you bring me if I was like coming out of a coma?
And you know what? Maybe like a lasagna.
A solid lasagna. Yeah,
a solid lasagna. If we're looking for like a light snack, maybe some pesto on toast. Like
pesto?
With like some cheese and then like toasted a bit.
You're thinking that basil dip that I sometimes
have,
the
basil dip with some tomato, like a bruschetta.
Ooh.
I feel like a bruschetta.
I would get out of a coma for a bruschetta.
Right? I feel like it's like refreshing.
You know what though? I kind of vibe with Lou though. Like if someone bought me a cinnamon roll.
Oh.
I'm out of that coma.
Cinnamon roll. We should do some baking.
I would take a hot break from my coma to have a cinnamon roll.
Right.
But like, so guys, just give me 1 second. Yum, yum, yum. Okay, I'm out again.
I would do it for, like, ice cream. I'd do it for oats. Like, I'm obsessed with, like, chocolate peanut butter oats. Like, you make me some of them oats, I'm up from my coma. I'm not ill anymore. I don't care about that witch.
There's no going back.
Yeah, no going
back. Only going forward from here.
Exactly. Anyways, obviously, Coco is a good friend and know what Lou needs. She is trying to just convince Lou, like, you're okay, like, we're gonna be okay. I know that was really traumatic, like, we're in this together, we'll be alright. But she's also there with kind of a word of warning and being like, look, other people saw what happened and they're a bit suspicious of you.
People are like, why is she so upset that she's hysterical?
Yeah.
At this, which, like, her husband is literally the captain of the chasseurs.
Yeah, why is she not
Why is she so upset about a witch? Shouldn't she be, like, rejoicing?
True. She needs to, like, present herself as a solid team with him.
United front.
Yes, very true.
But either way, people are very suspicious now. A note on Ansel. Obviously, he knows Lou is a witch now.
Yeah.
And Lou just has this kind of overwhelming sense of relief because he hasn't told anyone. He's kept the secret.
Yeah, he has.
What a beautiful boy.
He is such a beautiful boy. He's my favorite.
He's such a sweetheart.
So then Lou gets up and heads to the library, and she runs into the Archbishop, who also has them sticky buns. So either Coco is sleeping with him, or he also knows where the good food is.
I think him and Lou are kindred spirits.
Yeah, I think so too. Anyways, they have, like, the same taste in dessert. It's, like, very fascinating.
Yes.
So they kind of have a chat. So the Archbishop's like, "What can I do for you, young lady?" And she's like, "I would like to borrow a Bible, please, sir." And he's like, "Sure."
It's like, "I got you. The moment
has come." Yeah, exactly.
He pulls out like 7 different ones. He's like, "This one's in pink. This one's in green." Yeah.
This one has cursive font.
Exactly. And I mean, I'm not exactly sure why she wants to read it. I can't remember if it was in the book or not. But I suspect maybe she wants to read it to try and understand why Reed has the set beliefs that he does.
Yeah, because I think maybe she's thinking he hasn't even tried to understand her point of view. So maybe he's at the same level of frustration as her. So if she tries to understand, maybe she'll be less angry at him. Like, it's not really about him and her. It's more about her views on him.
Exactly, exactly. So I think some time passes, Lou's back at the room, she's reading the Bible, and Reed comes back, and she, like, tucks it under the bed or something and pretends she wasn't. And she's like, "Hi, welcome home, honey." And he's quite surprised that she's still up. And he's like, "Hang on a second, you have a fever. Can I do anything for you? Like, what can I do?" And she's like, "I need to get my hair off my neck." And he's like, "Sucks to be you, doesn't it?" And she's like, "Can you braid it?" And he's like, "I beg your pardon." And she's like, "Please, I'll tell you what to do. Just do it. I need it off the back of my neck." And he's like, "This is stupid, but fine."
Yeah, because she's got that fever sweaty neck.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so she teaches him how to braid. You know, a nice little French braid for a French gal. And I feel like he does really well because I took ages to learn how to braid. Because as soon as you have to integrate another strand in, I just lost it straight away.
I still
away.
Don't know how to braid.
Yeah, I'm a master braider now. But when I was learning, I was like, I do not understand how, where the other strand goes. And then it'll be just like a 4-strand braid and then just becomes like 10 strands.
Well, I feel like it's described as, like, to start with, he's really awkward and clumsy. But as it goes on, he's got very competent hands.
Oh.
Oh, wink, wink.
Well, you know, if a man's good at braiding, he's
got a big heart.
Yeah, he's got a big heart.
Anyway, and I guess she's trying to break the awkward silence.
Yeah.
And Lou's like, "Tell me how you became the captain of the chasseurs." And Reed tells Lou about how one time when he was 17, the kind of group of chasseurs he was with stumbled across a pack of loup-garou, I believe they're pronounced.
Yes.
Which are werewolves, and he killed them. And they're like, "Great, promotion, tick."
Yeah, even though they weren't witches, but I guess they were mystical creatures.
I guess the same principle still applies for werewolves and witches.
Exactly.
Like, it's unearthly powers.
Yeah, that's true. And I guess Lou was a little bit put off by this.
Mm.
And she's kind of like, "I wish I didn't ask. Like, I wish I didn't know."
Exactly. And I think Reed picks up and he's like, "You asked me."
Yeah.
And she's like, "Yeah, I know.
I know." Yeah. Regrets, regrets.
Regrets.
Yeah. Anyways, the next day, Lou's kind of like, "Oh, I just want to go somewhere. Like, I've literally been in a coma for 3 days. I just want to get out of here."
I think she just wants to move on because obviously she still feels like immense guilt about Estelle.
Yeah, that's right. And she's like, "You know what I feel like?
A good sticky bun. Sticky bun for days.
Sticky bun for life, man." We should make sticky buns.
I've never had them. Are they, what are they?
Buns that are sticky.
Hmm.
I think they're just, like, cinnamon rolls.
Yeah, because I read them as cinnamon rolls.
Same.
But that's because I really love cinnamon rolls.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I was just trying to, like, integrate my own love into it.
I love cinnamon buns.
If you guys have any good sticky bun recipes, send them to us.
Yeah, or if you know exactly what sticky buns are. Like, are they a French thing, or I thought they'd just be buns with, like, icing on them.
Like glazed buns?
Yeah.
Maybe. Anyway, send us your best recipes. We'll make them and review them next time if you guys want. So they're about to head out and Lou's like, let's go. And Reed goes to grab his chasseur's coat. And she's like, oh, no, no, no. I just want a normal Reed. Like, just leave the chasseurs behind. I want you, not Chas.
Yes.
And he's like, well, we're the same person. And she's like, no, just leave the coat at home. It's fine.
Yeah.
So they head on out and Reed is absolutely freezing because he doesn't have a coat. Look, I feel like Lou should have thought about this before.
I also feel like Reed needs to go to Target and get like a normal coat like everybody else. Like nobody wants you to wear your uniform everywhere.
True, he needs more than one coat. I feel like Reed just needs a bigger wardrobe.
A petition for Reed to get a coat.
Coats for Reed.
How are you raising these boys? Like what is wrong with you?
True.
What about his wedding tux? Was he wearing his uniform?
Yeah, like a soldier.
Oh, true.
No, wait, they didn't even have a wedding ceremony. Why are we doing this?
Oh, yeah.
We're imagining some big thing as if they're not already married.
Yeah, true.
Maybe they'll have a wedding.
I hope so.
That made absolutely no sense. I just
realized. A vow renewal.
Yeah. Like, obviously, Lou's a little sus about a few things about her life. And plus, they never consummated the marriage.
That's
so true. So maybe they, like, officially get married in the future.
That's true. And then she can gift him with a knitted sweater because he's cold. Cute.
Cute. I feel like Lou would not vibe knitting, though.
No. She'll make Ansel do it.
Yes. And then she'll be like, I made this for you. And Ansel will be, like, crushing. Anyways, Reed's, like, super cold and complaining. And Lou's like, oh, okay, I guess you can share my coat. And she's, like, tiny compared to him. So they look really awkward just, like, waddling down the streets together. But he thinks it's super cute and definitely loves it. He's like, we looked really stupid, but I couldn't help but pull her a little bit closer.
Yeah, it's really cute.
Cute.
Yes. And so they walk past this patisserie and says, Pong, again. They literally have a guy in there called Bread. An Italian restaurant, like, oh, sorry, I'm busy right now, but my fellow waiter, lasagna, will be with you.
In just a moment.
Alfredo, come over here.
Exactly.
Parmesan.
That's such a weird thing. I never even thought about that.
Right? Maybe Shelby Morin was just like, oh, I came up with Estelle. That was enough of a name for me. I'm ready to just call my characters, like, names of foods.
Do you reckon Baz is short for Basil?
Do you think Sticky Bun is a character and we just didn't realise?
And Lou's secretly been in love with Sticky Bun?
Sticky Bun!
Lou and Sticky Bun fanfic, anyone?
Coco brought Sticky Bun in because Sticky Bun would make her feel better.
Good Sticky old Bun's SB. A really good therapist.
Yeah. Archbishop was then catching up with SB. And then SB therapist was Sticky like, Bun. Grab a Bible. Yeah. Oh, goodness. And so Lou introduces Reed to Pan as Baz. So she's like, this is my person, Baz. And Pan / Bread is like, you need to treat her well, buddy.
I've heard stories about you. I know you, Baz. You've been treating my girl bad. And he's like, Lou, here for you, many free sticky buns. For him, as he throws a sticky bun, like, at his face, you gotta pay. And Reed's like, oh, what did I just get dragged into?
Literally. He's like, your friend Brad is kind of angsty.
He's crazy.
He is. But I love him.
I guess as they leave, Reed's like, what was that all about? Why did you introduce me as him? And Lou's like, well, I've told Pan about Baz. And, you know, I got free sticky buns for like a year. So, you know, I'm really playing on that.
Yeah.
And Reed's like, you're a literal heathen.
Love it, though. You gotta do what you gotta do.
Exactly. I'd do the same.
Same. I'd be like, my friend SB, gotta get me some of that sticky bun.
So they proceed to wander around town for a while, and they just kind of get to know each other, and I don't know, I think it's super lovely. And they're talking about Christmas coming up, and he's like, oh, it's Christmas, and Lou's like, yes, I love Yule. Which, that alone, I feel like, should be an indicator to Reed that maybe something's not quite right.
Yeah. Or that she's grown up in, like, a completely different...
Exactly.
...upbringing, yeah.
Like, honestly, Reed. But he is kind of oblivious, I get the impression. Yeah. Like, he's naive, almost.
Yes, I was just gonna say, he is so naive. And he just wants to believe that everything's for the best, like, so badly.
Mm.
Baby Reed. So cute. And so Lou and Reed continue to walk around town, and Reed's a little shivering boy.
He's a little cold.
He's a little cold. And so...
It's probably because he's so high up. Like, he's basically in the clouds.
He's, yeah, 6 foot man. Sexy.
I honestly feel like he's probably close to 7 foot. Like, I feel like he's really tall.
Yeah, a Shessa. And also he was described as, like, a wall.
Like, literally the tallest man in Caesarine.
Yeah.
We love a tall man.
We do.
It's a pity he's not Illyrian.
True.
He'd be a great Illyrian. But I feel like also no one likes a Ranger Illyrian.
Oh, who knows? Illyrian's like a type of soldier and they have like wings and stuff.
Yes, from ACOTAR.
Yes.
It's fine.
Sarah J. Maas universe.
Anyways. Moving on.
Anyways, so she's like, what if I steal you a coat, man? And he's like, I don't need you to steal me a coat. I can just buy a coat. And I'll buy you one too, Lou.
And then an hour later they come out and he's got a nice non-chasseur coloured coat.
Wow.
And she has an ivory white coat, I believe, of like crushed velvet or something
wow.
like that.
Wow. Oh, that's nice.
I'm kind of sad about Reed's coat, to be honest.
Really?
Because I feel like, I think the chasseurs wear blue, don't they? And I feel like blue would really bring out his
really
eyes and hair.
Good.
Yeah.
What colour was it?
The cloak?
Yeah.
I can't even remember. Oh, I think it was navy.
Yeah, which is still close to the colour.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow, he's really stepping out of his comfort zone, isn't he?
He is. He's pushing boundaries out, Reed.
Yeah. I like the cleanliness of, like, a nice beige kind of look, but also it would be so nice if it was, like, violet or, like, red. I feel like that would look cool. Like a royal purple or something like that.
I could definitely see red because Lou's, I think she's got quite dark features.
Yeah.
Like... She might, I think she has blue eyes, but she's got really dark hair, dark freckles, all that kind of situation. But I could see her looking really good in red.
Yeah,
but I feel
same.
Like white also is a really good contrast.
Yeah, I like how they made it clean. And also I think it's like snowing there.
Yeah.
Like it's cold to the point where it's snowing, so it would look really nice in the snow.
Super cute.
Yeah. Anyways, and then so they head back to the tower and Coco comes in to say that Monsieur Bernard is gone.
Yes. And Lou's like, what the heck happened while we were gone?
He heard their tea spill and he was like, this is too much.
Like, I'm out of here, bro.
I need to get better.
And I guess it kind of moves on pretty quickly from there. And we find out that King August has scheduled a ball in honor of Reed for burning the witch, I believe.
Yeah. Not a great theme.
Bad reinforcement.
Not a good party
there.
Theme. Everybody else is like, what about ABBA? And King August is like, no, what about Estelle burning alive? And everyone's like, sure.
Anyway, so Coco and Lou are like dressed up in these gorgeous gowns and Ansel kind of comes in and he's like a stuttering mess. And Lou's like, are you okay, buddy? I'm feeling so great about myself. You won't even look at me. You're just staring at Coco, absolutely gobsmacked.
Yeah.
And he's like, I need to escort you to the ball.
I need a moment alone by myself to think about how beautiful you guys are.
Anyway, Ansel escorts them to the king's ball at the palace. And when they get there, Lou really doesn't want to be announced.
No.
So she ends up going through like the back door or something. And she goes to find Reed, but she spots him with Celie.
Celie is the one that he's been pining after for like... Weeks?
In
front of us. Years alone.
Yeah, look, I would panic if I ran into that situation.
Same. I'd kind of, like, lose faith in a lot of things.
Like, walking into a ball, you're looking fine as hell.
Yeah.
And you see your husband talking to the ex.
Right.
Ooh.
I would not stand that.
No.
It's fine, though. Like, she was probably really anxious, and she's probably like, how can this day get worse? But also, she had a nice day. So maybe it's like, oh, it's a damper of a day.
Yeah. Anyway, so she goes towards Reed, but she gets intercepted by Prince Beauregard. And he's like, hi there, lovely.
Yeah, he's a flirty boy.
Oh, yeah, he's such a smooth talker. And she's like, I am the wife of Reed Diggory. And he's like, no shit, oh my god, spill the tea, gal.
I'm the wife too. No way.
Yeah, he wants all the tea, and he's like, this is gonna be fun. And she's like, yep, no thank you. Excuse me, must be getting back to my husband.
Yes.
And when she turns around, Reed is gone. And she kind of does sneaky little stuff and she ends up, I think, at the balcony.
So Lou basically gets to eavesdrop on Celie and Reed's conversation. And the whole conversation is basically just Celie being like, you don't love her. Like, you need to get divorced because, like, you are not meant to be together.
Yes,
you need,
like, to leave an her. Annulment is the only action. Like, you and I, we were always meant to be.
Yeah, like, you don't care for her. This is ridiculous. And Reed kind of bites back or has, like, a realization, and he's like, but I could love her. I could love Lou. And I think that means, like, he's starting to fall for her.
Yeah, and I think Celie did not vibe with that response.
No, she was like, she walks away.
And Lou's like, damn, I need to go before I get spotted. So she heads into the middle of the ballroom.
Yes.
And she's like, I've been here the whole time. I'm so busy.
Yeah, dance with me, Prince Beau. Which she doesn't.
And Reed comes over and spots her. And, you know, 100% he's like, damn, my wife is hot.
Yeah.
She's stunning in that dress.
Yes, she is.
And Coco comes over and joins, I guess, and they all chat a little. And in the end, Reed's like, Lou, can we go and speak privately? So they head off into another little room. They have a little aside.
There's so many little rooms at the ball.
Oh, 100%. Sneaky little corners for suspicious activity, I think.
Yeah, it sounds like a Taylor Swift song.
Oh, 100%.
Like 2012 Taylor Swift.
Yes. And basically, Reed's like, I need to tell you, Celie and I spoke. And Lou's like, yeah, I know, I eavesdropped.
Oh, honesty is the best.
Yeah, and he's like, okay, kind of hate that you heard about it that way, but guess what's done is done.
Yeah, it is what it is.
And they basically just agree that they really want this marriage to work, which, yes, I think is so sweet.
So good. I feel like things that test couples could either really break you or just make you so much stronger.
Mm.
Anyways, and so they go back into the ballroom and lose. I don't know, I feel like they've got this newfound confidence as a couple. So Lou's trying to, like, dance all silly.
I think so. I'm a little confused. Like, it's definitely not the way they're supposed to be dancing.
Yeah.
Either way, yeah. Reed's super embarrassed.
It's not how they do it at Chasseur School.
No.
It's how they do it at La Rue's.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Anyway, and Reed's like, stop it, you're embarrassing me. Oh my god, you can't dance like that. And Lou's like, you're literally the guest of honor. We can dance however you want.
Yeah. And I think they have a really good time.
It's cute.
Like, Reed just lets go a little bit, and it's really nice.
He needs to let go some more. I feel like he's so stiff.
Uptight, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, after this, they kind of have a nice party. No regrets. Like, I think they have a really nice time together. And so Reed and Lou decide to leave and, you know, call it for the night. And they're like, all right, Coco, come with us. Let's go. And Coco's like, nah. I've got something here for me.
She does. And she's chatting with Prince Beau.
Yes. Who originally was chatting up good old Louise.
Yes. But yeah, we pretty much know that Coco's going for a strong friends with benefits with Beau.
Yes. Gotta get them perks.
Good on her, getting what she wants.
That's right.
So now we switch back to Reed's perspective. And that night, Lou's in bed. And from the floor, he can, like, hear her tossing and turning. And there's, like, mad sexual tension because I think they're thinking about everything that happened today and everything. And she's basically like, oh, okay, look, you don't have to sleep on the floor. Come and sleep up here. There's plenty of room. We can do it.
Yes.
Cough, cough, my favorite trope. There's only one bed.
Yes.
So they're, like, lying together. And Lou's like, so tell me about the tournament that you participated in to become a chasseur. And Reed kind of talks about how he beat Jean-Luc in order to become a chasseur at the tournament. And I don't know, they talk about everything a little bit. He talks about his childhood love with Celie and really briefly about witches as well. And Lou's like, you literally don't know the first thing about witches. And he's calls a witch it again. And Lou's like, they're literally not its. They can reproduce, therefore they're she. And he's like, yeah, but it's asexual reproduction. And Lou's like, I don't know where you learned that, bro, but it's not. And she's like, that's literally not how it works. Did you ever do sex ed?
Definitely not.
Just regular, but witches. The witch gene only passes down to the females in the line.
Yes. And I feel like this is a different conversation vibe to before when he was, like, braiding her hair or whatever and he's like, well, you asked.
Because, I mean, they're talking about sex.
Yeah, they are. But they're still talking about witches. But I feel like he might even be a little bit more open to amuse the idea. Like, not really, but he has more respect for her to, like, understand kind of where she's coming from.
I feel like more
time.
He's just willing to listen to her speak.
Yeah, exactly. Instead of being like, no, I'm right, you're wrong. He's like, okay, like, we have different beliefs. You're wrong, but we have different
beliefs.
But
I'll listen to you because I know you like speaking about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's right. I know you like defending yourself.
And then, I don't know. Mad sexual tension going on.
Yes.
And Reed, I love this. Reed basically says, I'm not going to try anything on you or touch you unless you ask.
Very good.
And Lou's like, are you kidding? And he's like, nah, bruh, I'm serious. You got to ask me to touch you. And she's sulking and he ends up taking his shirt off. And he's like, it's just so warm. Like, oh, I couldn't possibly sleep with a shirt on. And Lou is shook because she's got one hunky chasseur shirtless next to her.
Ooh, yes, he is a hunk.
I would not mind switching positions with Lou just then.
No, we're going to Ariana Grande style it.
100%.
So we're back in Lou's perspective and she wakes up against Reed because they just had a little cute little snuggle sesh. And Reed's like, good morning, I'm off to train with my bestie Jean-Luc and the boys.
That honestly makes me so sad. Like, Reed is like, yeah, my best friend Jean-Luc. And then Jean-Luc's like, I'm so jealous of Reed. He's I hate him. Like, I feel so bad. I feel like Reed deserves a genuine friend.
I feel bad for Ansel, who's like, my everyday, my living, my breathing is Reed. And Reed's like, my best friend's Jean-Luc and he hates me.
Well, to be fair, Reed's probably like Ansel as a child.
Yeah.
He's my little bro.
Yeah, that's true. Like, he's son. Gotta protect him. Yes. No, I get you.
I don't know. I feel bad for Reed. He seems too pure to have a friend like Jean-Luc.
He's so pure. I also am kind of a fan of Jean-Luc, though, but...
Really?
Yeah, a little bit. I don't know why. I just feel like he's, like, a sexy beast. I don't know.
I mean, I'm sure he is. I feel like he's one of those really attractive kind of villains, to be honest.
Yeah, that's right. But he's not quite a villain. So you can still excuse some of his actions. Like, there's character development space.
Oh, 100%. I just don't like how he's so fake.
Yeah, two-faced. Very true. Mm. And jealous of Reed all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so Lou's like, I need to go out to buy you a Yule present. And he's like, you don't need to, but sure, let's just go out for funsies.
Yeah.
So they agree to meet back later. And when Reed gets back from training, she's like, I really want to head out and buy you a Christmas present.
Yes.
And he's like, sure, whatever. Let's head on out. So they go out and they're like, okay, here's the plan of attack. We're going to split up and meet back here later.
Yeah, like a cute little Kris Kringle.
Exactly. So Lou's like, I know exactly what to get Reed. So she goes to the blacksmith, which she knows, and she's like, literally, I can see the cutest copper dagger ever.
Yeah.
He would love this. It's so beautiful.
Yeah.
It reminds me of his hair.
Perfect.
And so she tries to buy it, but the blacksmith literally hates her. And he's like, you married a blue pig, like, how dare you, yada, yada, yada. He goes out the back, and Lou's like, damn, he's taken a little while, and she goes to walk out, and she realizes he has locked her in. And then Andre and Gru walk in.
Her besties.
Exactly, and they're like, oh, look, it's Louise, our bestie Lulu. And essentially, they're just trying to kill her.
Yeah, but... So she uses her magic powers to...
I guess stun them a little bit.
Yeah, like overpower them.
Get the upper hand.
Yeah, that's right. And grabs one of their daggers and stabs them with their own daggers instead.
Exactly. And someone outside is like, what's going on in there? And she's like, oh my god, I know that voice. That's my husband.
Yeah.
So Lou rushes to, like, I can't even remember the word, like forge or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And she ends up starting a fire and just getting smoke everywhere to mask the smell of the magic.
Yeah, because everyone can smell it.
And then Reed eventually gets in and he's like, oh my god, what are you doing here? And she's like, how did you know I was here? And he's like, I was gonna buy you a knife.
Oh.
And Lou's like, I think my heart just melted. Because honestly, it's like, he honestly has such strong views and values. And the Archbishop has explicitly stated, like, don't give her a knife or anything.
Yeah.
And Reed was willing to go against that to give her a knife, and she just, like, grabs his face and kisses him.
Yeah, I think she's just so grateful, and also probably because she's like, I just had a near-death experience.
Yeah, it's and I'm time. Pretty sure he, like, jerks back and then stares at her, and then all of a sudden they're kissing again.
Yeah.
She, like, leans into him more, and he grabs her legs, and she wraps them around his waist, and he, like, kind of picks her up a little bit. Anyway, it's really hot, and he like leans her back and she's like lying and he's above her, and then she starts to feel something warm.
Yeah.
And they pull away and they realize that Lou is lying in Andre's blood,
which is a mood killer for one.
Biggest turn off.
Yeah, honestly.
And Reed grabs Andre's knife and is like, here, Lou, early Christmas present.
Yeah, this is yours. Well done.
Spice rating?
Yeah.
It's been a hot sec since we did a spice rating.
It really has. I mean, I'm going to rate this a, like, 0.35.
Really?
Yeah, because it didn't describe any grinding or whatever. It was, like, I like the straddling action, but Mood Killer... Yeah, I don't know. I feel like there was more tension in other scenes in this book.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, what about you?
I'm going to rate it a 2. I thought it was hot. I loved it. Just the fact that they were so into it. And, like, this is, like, 2/3 of the way through the book. Like, the lead up, the sexual tension, astronomical.
Yeah.
And then they finally kiss, and I'm like, damn, this is so good. And the fact that, like, he's a shy, like, inexperienced chasseur, supposedly. And the fact that he's literally just, like, picking her up against him... And, like, you know, like, if there was a bed in the room, he would have, like, shoved her on that bed. Know it.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Anyway, I thought it was hot. I was impressed.
Yeah, I thought it was hot, too, but 2 out of 5 for me. More action. Yeah, fair enough.
Fair.
So, they go back to the Chasseur's Tower, and Lou's kind of like, I want to show you a secret.
And Reed's like, is it illegal? And she's like, no, of course not. And Reed's like, are you sure? Like, ha 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 ha. And he makes fun of her a bit. And Lou's like, stop making fun of me. I swear to God, I will strip naked and dance the bourrée in front of everyone here. And Reed's like, do it.
Yeah, he really wanted her to do it.
I think he also was calling her bluff. He knew.
Yeah.
And she's salty.
Strip naked.
And she's like, I don't want to show you my secret anymore.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, please, I do want to see it.
Yeah.
And she's like, okay, well, because you're adorable and I love you.
And we just had a sexy, sexy kiss scene.
Exactly. Sure. Let me show you.
Yes. So Lou takes Reed... to her old, I guess, home, the theater.
Yes.
And she's just kind of showing him, like, her old home and how she lived before she got married to him, basically.
Exactly.
And Reed gets a little bit, I think he's, like, hurt that Lou didn't really disclose as many things to him as he did to her about
Yes,
her
I
life.
Guess he's always been really open about his past.
Yeah.
And Lou... obviously, he's had a really rough past.
Yeah.
And she just does not want to bring it up.
And Lou asks Reed a lot about his life, and he answers it completely honestly. But I feel like when Reed asks her, she does it really lightly. Like, she's like, oh, yeah, this happened. But, like, it's chill. Like, I've got Coco or whatever. So, yeah, I feel like he's just feeling a little bit betrayed or, like, a little bit suspicious, to be honest.
Yeah, exactly. And in the end, I think she's like, fine, I'm sorry. Ask me a question, I'll answer. And he basically asks about the scar at her throat, and she's like, oh, yep, that's from my mum. Anyway, so, yeah, they kind of just come to the conclusion that Lou has a really bad relationship with her mother, and that's that.
Yes. And so Lou tries to lighten the mood a little bit, but also that conversation was kind of over. And she takes Reed up to the roof, and Reed gives Lou, like, kind of a Christmas present, like a little early Christmas present, because it matched the vibe. Like, I think he was gonna give it to her, like, at some point, because he was carrying it with her, but it's actually a ring that belonged to his mother.
And it's got a mother pearl on it.
Yes.
Absolutely stunning.
Beautiful.
And they're, like, intense icon. I can see you, like, hyperventilating over there. Are you gonna be okay?
I read what was about to come up.
Anyway, and there's, like, intense sexual tension, I guess. And they're, like, staring into each other's eyes, and Reed's like, ask me to touch you, Lou. And Lou's like, touch me, Reed. And he's like, that wasn't a question, was it? And Lou does not want to be one-upped, so she's like, would you brave and virtuous chasseur stick your tongue down my throat and your hands up my skirt? My ass needs grabbing.
I'm obsessed with Lou, she's hilarious.
And Reed's like, jerks back.
Yeah.
And she's like, too much? And she turns around and she's like, he's, like, terrified.
Yeah.
He's so pale and he's not vibing. And Lou's like, are you quite right there? And then she realizes, like, he's literally a virtuous chasseur. He's a holy chasseur.
He is a virgin.
Yes.
Our virgin boy is scared and I love it.
Oh, bless him. Anyways, she's basically like, let me teach you. And then she, like, brings his hands to the front of her dress and he, like, undoes it. And then pretty quickly, he makes quick work of it, and they're both naked.
Oh, yeah, he's a natural.
Exactly. And then she's like, this is how you touch a woman, and, like, grinds against him. And she's like, and this is how you touch me. And she grabs his hand and basically makes him finger her.
Yeah.
And she's loving it.
A great scene.
He's a very quick learner.
He is. He's very good at what he does. Well done, Reed.
Good job, Reed. 10 out of 10 performance from you.
Yes.
And then they both finish. Set. Tick. Done. This amazingly saucy scene.
Good job.
And then she, like, winces a little bit as he pulls out. And he's like, did I hurt you? And she's like, it's like a good hurt. Well done, you.
Pat him on the head, will you?
So cute.
So cute. Okay. Spice rating.
I mean, it's no chapter 55.
No.
But I would give this a solid 4.
Wow.
I thought it was great.
Yeah, I did too, actually. So yes, I'm going to give this a 3.75 out of 5.
Why not a 4?
I mean, I gave chapter 55 like a 4.5, and that was like far, far from this in like a good way. Like, this is their first time. I thought it was really, really good, but it's not described in like the most detailed graphic way that's going to make me like, wow. It literally was just like spice wise. I was just like, ooh, okay. Like, wow. Okay. So yeah, it was a really good scene. Like, I thought it was
pretty graphic for a young adult novel.
I always forget that this is a young adult. I'm going to give it a 3.85.
Okay.
Not quite a 4. I'm not going to give it a 4 yet.
Okay.
Hopefully there's better ones to come.
That's fair, that's fair.
Yes.
So the next day they head out into town again and they run into Madame LaBelle and they're like chatting and stuff and Madame LaBelle's looking at Lou's ring from Reed and she's like looking at Reed and then she's like, is he good to you, Lou, and stuff like that. And Lou makes a connection. She's like, they're both redheads, blue eyes. Oh my God. Madame LaBelle is not only a witch, but she's also Reed's mother.
Yes. And she also realizes that Madame LaBelle's first warnings means that her mum is close by. As in, Lou's mum will be close by, like in this city that they're currently in.
Which is not a vibe. No, that's not what we want.
No. And
then this guy kind of turns up and Lou thinks it's a beggar at first, but then she realizes it's Monsieur Bernard.
He looks a little rough.
And he does. Mm. And she's like, Bernie, are you okay or something? And he like grabs her and whispers, I'm coming for you, darling. And Reed's like, this is not a vibe. Grabs his balisada and stabs Monsieur Bernard.
Yeah, was that called for, Reed? Because I feel like he was like possessed.
Possessed.
Possessed. Uncle Bernard was possessed. But yeah, so poor Bernard. First of all, he has a really bad week jumping off of this building or falling off. And then he has to hear all this tea between Coco and Lou. And now he's just gotten stabbed.
Yeah, look, he's not having a great life.
No.
Yeah, Reed is super sus.
Yes.
And I guess they head back to the tower and they're in their room. And Reed's pretty salty at Lou. He's like, I cannot protect if I dunno. And then the Archbishop comes in. And then he's like, look, there's heaps of women gathering. We suspect magic. And Reed's like, are we sure it's witches, though? And the Archbishop's like, do you want us to confirm? Or, like, should we just risk it and leave it? Like,
yeah.
Is that what you're thinking?
What is your job, Reed?
And Reed's like, yeah, okay, fine, legit, I'll leave. And as he's leaving, he goes, I love you, Lou. And then just heads on out. And Lou's like, oh my God.
It's that virgin thing.
I picture Lou as that emoji that's, like, the big eyes with, like, the cute eyebrows, like the puppy face.
The ooey woo face.
Yeah,
the ooey woo boyfriend. I love it. And so, you know, I guess the Archbishop must think that without Reed, Lou has nothing to do. Because he's like, all right, well, you're coming with me to watch a show.
Mm-hmm.
What is with the Archbishop just like taking random people to shows that no one cares about?
I know, right?
I feel like something always goes wrong when they go with him.
He's super rude to Lou, though.
Right.
He's basically like, he's never gonna love you, that kind of stuff.
Rude.
And she's like, well, he literally just said so take that, so.
Yeah, exactly. And so he takes her to this show, and it's done by a troupe of women.
It's the group of women that Reed went to survey. I guess the Archbishop just wanted to suss it out for himself, but he doesn't trust Lou alone.
Yes.
And the woman narrating the play basically tells a story, and she's like, oh, there's the holiest of men, and he slept with La Dame de Sorcières, and they conceived a child, and yada, yada, yada. And then all of a sudden, Lou's mother appears, and all these connections are forming now. Like, first of all, Lou's mom is La Dame de Sorcières, yes, which we kind of already knew.
Yes.
Second of all, La Dame de Sorcières slept with the Archbishop.
Yes.
Third,
they conceived a child.
Fourth,
The child is Lou.
Lou's like, daddy? And she turns around to the Archbishop.
Daddy.
And all the women in the troop are witches.
Yes. And now that it's been revealed,
all the screaming begins. Yes. Absolute chaos everywhere.
Oh, completely. All these witches are like going cray cray. They're like, no!
And the chasseurs are like, gotta get them witches.
Yeah, exactly. And Reed locates her. Like, he sees her within this crowd and tries to get to her. And so he finally reaches her as this battle's just, like, building up. And they head really quickly to the tower, you know, to get a bit of protection.
That's the safest place at this point.
Yeah, absolutely. But a witch actually follows them and comes into the tower. And Reed's trying to fight her, but he actually loses his Belisarda. And so he kind of lunges at Lou to protect her.
Yes, I think this is such a big moment because it's like, do you lunge for the Belisarda?
Yeah.
Or do you lunge for Lou? And he chooses his wife.
Right.
Bless.
And Antel is there too, and he lunges for the Belisarda.
Mm-hmm. But essentially, the witch uses her power and just blasts both Ansel and Reed back. So it's up to Lou.
Yes.
So Lou's fighting this witch and she ends up getting stabbed by that weird witchy potion injection thing that they had for the people at the top of the tower.
Yes. And at this point, because she was, you know, easily defeated by this witch poison potion thing, Reed realizes that Lou is a witch.
Exactly.
And this is a huge moment.
We all knew what was coming.
Yeah.
And he just kind of looks at her with disgust in his eyes. And Lou says she loves him and she blacks out.
Yes.
When she finally wakes up, Ansel has the antidote. And he's like, this is all I had left. But like, Reed's outside fighting and he's losing really badly.
Yes.
I need you to help.
Yeah. And the witch is still there. And so Lou's trying to fight her. But Reed just basically says, well, use me. Because you're too weak, and, you know, I know that you can, like, channel stuff or whatever, because you're a witch bitch, so just do that, like, it's whatever. And so she uses these magical patterns and stuff to control his body and ends up killing the witch.
Yes. And I guess Lou stops controlling Reed, and he's like, Ansel, get out. And he's like, I think I should stay, like, you have anger management issues.
Yes, and you're about to get a divorce.
Exactly. And he's like, no, seriously, get out.
Yes.
He's, like, screaming at Ansel. He's like, get out! And Lou's like, don't talk to him like that. And then Reed is a bit of a jerk. He's like, you seem to have forgotten who I am, Louise. I'm Captain of the Chasseurs. I will speak to him as I wish.
Ugh.
Disgusting.
He's completely changed.
And Ansel's like, yeah, chill. Sure. Yeah. I'm gonna be outside if you need me. And Lou's like, please say something. Like, I literally just revealed I was a witch. And he's like, I have nothing to say to you. And she's like, I'm still me, Reed. And he's like, no, you're not. You are a witch.
Mm.
And she's sobbing. And she's like, I wanted to tell you, but I didn't want to lose you. I love you. And he's like, love me? As if someone like you is capable of love.
Right.
And he basically just compares her to La Dame de Sorcières, which is obviously horrid and Lou's worst nightmare because she hates her mother.
Oh, exactly. She's ruthless.
And Reed, I guess he just feels really stupid that he, like, poured his heart out to someone he...
Well, someone who's, like, his enemy, basically.
Exactly. She's like, please, you took an oath to me. You're my husband and I'm your wife. And he's like, you are not my wife. And she just, like, breaks. Her heart shatters. And Lou runs away and Ansel, like, hugs her and he's like, are you hurt? And she's like, I'm so sorry for everything. And it's super sad. And as she's running away, in her head, she's just hearing, you know, flashbacks to the good times where he said, where you go, I will go, where you stay, I will stay. And she's remembering him saying, I love you, Lou. And then straight after, you are not my wife. And in her head, she just keeps on repeating, you are not my wife, you are not my wife, you are not my wife. And then all of a sudden, she hears a familiar voice saying, hello, darling, it's time to come home. And she blacks out.
So now we're back in Reed's perspective, and Ansel is incredibly mad at Reed because he let Lou go. He basically just left her defenseless because of his, like, hate for her, whatever.
Mm.
And so, obviously, the Brotherhood is not doing well. And so Jean-Lou comes in, and he just wants confirmation because he's like, I've seen stuff. I've seen what's been going on. I wanna know, my bestie. And Yeah, everyone kind of just knows Lou's a witch now. But the Archbishop comes in and is like, you have to find Lou. We have to stop these witches. Like,
they're going to literally take over the world.
That too, but, you know.
Not as everything's a dad, about Lou.
It's really not. And Reed's really thinking about it because he's thinking about what Ansel said and, like, all these things about Lou. And he's like, you know what? I really should save the day, I guess. Like, I guess I do care about Lou, and I just need to, like, figure out my feelings before acting, like, irrationally.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got to find his wife, and so he visits the only person that she apparently trusts, which is Coco.
Mm-hmm. Reed's basically like, you knew she was a witch? And Coco's like, yeah, literally everyone knew. And Reed's like, Ansel didn't. And Ansel's like, yeah, I did. Reed, oh my god, so oblivious to everything.
He is.
And Coco admits to being the witch right at the start. And she's also like, I know exactly who can help us find Lou. So they go to Belle Rose and they find Madame LaBelle, who's with Beau for some reason. Mm. And they end up using a locator spell.
Yes.
And they realize she's at Chateau LeBlanc. And Reed's like, okay, well, Coco, get us there. And she's like, I can't. And Reed's like, well, what do you mean you can't? She's like, I'm a Dame Rouge. And he's like, okay, and she's like, I'm a blood witch. And he's like, and she's like, I'm literally a whole different breed of witch. I cannot enter the chateau.
Yeah, we're not all the same, Reed.
Which again highlights Reed is literally so oblivious and naive with witches.
Yes, he is.
And then Madame LaBelle is like, I can take you to the chateau, which is in the Forest d'Eau. And Reed's like having a hot moment in his mind. He's quite stressed. I think now he's realizing, despite being so rude to Lou before, he does love her. And in his head, he's like, and my wife, the fucking love of my life, was the daughter of La Dame de Sorcières.
Oh, Reed.
He's having a bit of a moment.
He is. He's really realized that, you know, he loves her.
Mm-hmm.
Despite the witchy stuff.
And then Madame LaBelle high key spills the tea. And she kind of explains that the war that's going on at the moment between witches and chasseurs is older, is hundreds of years in the making. And it all started with a witch named Angelica and a holy man named Constantine. So the holy man named Constantine, that is generally thought to be the man who forged the sword of Balassada. He's a saint. And Coco's like, oh, yes, yes, I remember this. Lou told me all about it. It's with, like, Angelica. She fell in love with him, but then he died and her tears made this river. With Angelica's ring, remember?
Yeah, like, that's the old folk's tale.
Exactly. And Madame LaBelle's like, yep, that's half right, but let me tell her the real tea. Angelica did fall in love with Constantine, but she didn't tell him she was a witch. And then eventually she told him of her people's magic and the connection with the land. And at first Constantine and his kingdom accepted her and, like, cherished her people and stuff. La Dame Blanches, they called them, the White Ladies. And then Angelica became the first Dame de Sorcières. But then time passed, Constantine was jealous of Angelica's magic, and he kind of took charge of the land. Soldiers marched on Belterra, slaughtered her people. Whole bad story went down. Angelica cried so much, and yeah, magic just didn't work for him, even though he tried to, like, take it over. And in the end, he ended up dying by his own hand. And Angelica wept her sea of tears shortly after, followed him into the afterlife. But his brethren, aka the chasseurs, lived on and drove witches into hiding.
My goodness.
That is the tea indeed.
That is the tea.
And then she's spilling some more tea. We find out that King August, he be doing the sleeping around big time.
Oh, yes.
And altogether, Madame LaBelle believes he has about 26 children.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And shortly after Beau was born, Morgan LeBlanc announced that she was with child, the Archbishop's child. And it was basically, Morgan basically just conceived Lou for vengeance. And nature demands balance. So in order to end the king's line, Morgan must end her own line. Which is why there's that whole drama with Lou dying equals King's line ending.
Yeah, exactly.
And yeah, Morgan wants revenge on the king, which is why she wants to kill Lou.
Yes, so now that provides a bit of context as to, like, the reasons as to why she's, like, hunting Lou down. Even though it's her own daughter, like, come on, man, chill out.
Exactly. And Coco's like, okay, well, Madame LaBelle, what on earth is your role in all of this? And Madame LaBelle's like, waves her hand, and she's like, I want to protect Lou. And Reed's like, hold on a second. Hand movement. The gold rings on her hand, on her left ring finger. The mother of pearl ring. Nearly identical to the one I gave Lou. Oh my god. Mom? I guess they kind of brush over it a little bit. And then we find out that Madame LaBelle basically kind of set up the whole thing with Lou finding Angelica's ring. Madame LaBelle also told the Archbishop about Lou and Coco and Baz going to steal the ring.
All the tea is spilled in this tiny, tiny little chapter.
Literally.
It's so intense.
And Reed's like, you did all of this because you fell in love with the king, didn't you? And she's like, yeah.
I did.
Yeah, I did, actually. Soon after this happened, she became pregnant.
Yes.
And she kind of just says she had to give him away and she searched for him for years, but he was lost. And Reed's like, oh my god.
Mm-hmm.
You, my mom.
Yeah, everyone just been keeping these secrets from poor Reed.
Yeah, I don't know. Look, not good, because Madame LaBelle is basically like, well, sucks because Morgane's gonna do a sacrifice thing. It's gonna be in a fortnight time. I know her. It's this celebration on Christmas Eve called Modra Heat.
Yeah.
And it's a night of honor, and it's a night to honor their mothers. And Reed goes, how fortunate I don't have one.
Aww.
Let's reconvene here in a bit. Make sure you aren't followed. And then we're off to save Lou.
Yeah. That was a lot of tea to be spilled.
So much.
Many revelations. But I guess everything just makes a bit more sense as to, like, her motives for everything that she's doing.
Mm-hmm. Madame LaBelle is the serial? Is the gossip queen?
She's the gossip queen. In every single series that Liv and I do, we nominate a gossip queen.
We do.
It is definitely either Archie, the Archbishop-y, the bread man, or...
No, it's Madame LaBelle. Yeah, I'm not taking any other answer. Yeah.
No, you're right. It is Madame LaBelle. She's pretty awesome. So now we're back in Lou's perspective, and she wakes up in her mother's arms, and Madame Le Saussier is basically just like, come on, side with me, be on my team, you know we're right. Like, they're terrible to witches, we need to stand up, this is the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
And Lou has no choice but to listen because, you know, they paralyzed her with the witchy stuff.
Exactly.
So she's just sitting there like, oh, and then the mom's probably there like, oh, she's listening, she's on our side.
She's really taking this all in.
Awkward. And so they're traveling, and they're almost at the Chateau LeBlanc. And so Lou's actually being watched over or guarded slash babysat by a witch called Manon, who used to grow up with Lou.
Yes.
So they know each other quite well, but obviously, you know,
it's been a hot minute since they've seen each other.
It has. She's on the bad side now. So she's basically looking after Lou. And Lou's mom's basically like, your friends are the bad people. We are the good ones.
Exactly. And Lou's like, I literally know that's not true, but...
My friends are baddies, though.
They are baddies.
Yeah.
They're boss-ass babes.
They are. And they're not bad people.
So we also find out that in 3 days' time now, there's this festival to sacrifice Lou.
Yes.
And Lou's really sad because she's like, where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Repeating these words that Reed said right before they did the sauciness. And she's like... Where you go, I will go. I'm not going to be able to go. You can't go with me if I'm dead.
Wow, so pessimistic. Come on, Lou.
I feel her, though. But yeah, she's sad because she's going to be parted with Reed for realsies.
Yeah. Without being able to explain herself fully.
Exactly.
And so now we're back in Reed's perspective and, you know, obviously they're on a journey too, he and his gang. And the whole time during the journey, Beau... The prince, who decides to just, like, tag along with them, is complaining, like, the whole time.
He's literally not an outdoorsy dude.
No, he's like, what is this? And he's like, rain. And he's like, I do not tolerate this perspiration.
Yeah, he's not vibing.
No.
And Coco is vibing. She's like, I'm gonna eat this rabbit, like, yada yada. And she basically explains the difference between blood witches and white witches to Reed, and he's like, uh-huh, I see. And, you know, it's kind of that kind of just, like, small talk, I guess. I guess Lou really broke the tension.
Yeah.
Not the sexual tension.
No.
She broke the awkward tension.
Yeah.
Between the crew.
And now they're on a mission, so they can focus on other things while they're, like, taking a break.
Exactly. And then this random-ass cat appears, And they're like, that's really weird. And Madame LaBelle's like, careful, not everything is what they appear in the forest. And in the distance, Reed sees Jean-Luc, and Madame LaBelle's like, we should work with them. We could really use some chasseurs to save Lou, yada, yada, yada. And Reed's like, no, because I literally know that Jean-Luc will try and kill Lou.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's not what we're here for.
No, definitely not. And so now we're back in Lou's perspective again. It really just jumps because everything happens so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And so she wakes up, and this time she's not in her mother's arms. She's in Manon's arms. And Manon is just, like, stroking her hair and being like, yo, you ready for the ceremony where you die? It's in 2 days, bitch.
Lou's like, I've had it up to here with you. Last time I saw you were sleeping around with this gal. How's she going? How's your sister going? I remember her being so much prettier than you.
Oh, what a dig.
Yeah, I know. And then Manon's like, well, actually, my sister got murdered by the chasseurs. So thank you so much for bringing that up. And Lou's like, oh, yeah, I went a bit farther.
Yeah.
And then we fast forward a little bit of time, and it's the night of the festival, and Manon asks how Lou escaped last time.
Yeah.
Because obviously, you know, Morgan has tried this ritual with Lou before.
Yeah, exactly.
And Lou basically tells Manon that she gave up her symbolic life for her physical life. And Manon's like, oh, really smart, really smart. And Lou's like, don't worry, I can't do it again because I can't give up him.
Yes.
Oh, my heart breaks a little.
Reed. And so Manon takes Lou to Morgan, and surprisingly, the Archbishop is there, but he's like held hostage. Like, he's not like working against Lou. He's literally there as a man, probably about to be sacrificed. And Morgan's like, yo, should I kill this bad bitch, Archie boy? And so Lou's like, no, that's like a very unnecessary blood spill.
Yes, exactly. And Morgan's like, okay, look, not what I was expecting, but fine. How about this? You can ask him anything and he'll reply. And Lou turns to the Archbishop and she's like, do you ever love me? And he starts praying and he's like, thou shalt not suffer at a witch's hands and yada, yada, yada. And Lou's a little bit devastated.
Yeah.
And this is also the moment where Lou finds out that the king's blood runs in Reed's veins. So when Lou dies, Reed is going too.
Well, that's good that Lou and Reed aren't, like, related or anything, because they could have easily been related. Both their mums could have slept with the king, but one of them slept with the archbishop instead.
True. Good plan. We could have had some incest. We could have had, like, a Mortal Instruments thing going on.
Oh, absolutely.
Yikes.
Yikes. Now we're back in Reed's perspective, and all of them have just arrived at Chateau Le Blanc.
Yes. And I guess Reed wants to get in with the besties, because we all know if you want to be my lover, you got to get with my friends.
Yes.
Make it last forever. Friendship never ends.
Yeah, Reed's a wannabe.
He is.
He wants to be a Spice Girl.
Reed would be Ginger Spice.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Or like Copper Spice.
Yeah, and Ansel's Baby Spice.
He is. And Lou's Scary Spice.
Yeah, and Coco's Sporty Spice.
Maybe Lou's. No, Lou's definitely not posh.
No. I think Posh Spice belongs to
Madame LaBelle. Bo.
It's oh, Bo. My gosh, it is Bo. Oh my gosh, that's so true. Oh, perfect. Now we've got a whole band together.
The Spice Gals.
Yeah, the wannabe Spice Gals.
Anyway, Reed wants to get in with the friends, so he's chatting a bit to Coco. And Coco tells Reed about how she met Lou when they were 6 years old. And one day Lou just disappeared. And Coco was like, oh, yeah, kind of weird, but guess it is what it is. That's the life of witches.
Yep.
And then years and years later, they met again in Caesarine. It was like an incidental thing. I think Lou bumped into her while Coco was in, like, not a compromising position. Well, yeah, compromising. Yeah. But not in a saucy way. It was like a held at knife point, I think.
Yeah, yeah. They got each other out of, you know, a weird
thing. Exactly. They're besties for the resties, yeah, until death sees.
That's right. Bonded for life.
Exactly. And Coco's also like, I don't like you, Reed, but for the sake of Lou, I will tolerate you.
That's very sweet.
Yeah.
She'll learn.
I mean, will she?
I feel like you're talking about our personal lives now. She better learn. Because Lou loves him.
Right.
But yeah, obviously their main priority is helping Lou, and so if they're thrown into this deep end together, they gotta get out of it with the same target in mind. And Madame LaBelle's like, a great bonding moment. Oh, we got a mission. So
sorry to interrupt, yes, kiddos.
Sorry that you guys hate each other, but like, love Lou, whatever. You guys need to go in disguise. Otherwise, everyone's going to see you. You're standing out like a sore thumb. And we also find out that LaBelle's special power is also disguising people.
I mean, I wouldn't call it a special power. She just uses her magic.
Yeah, but it's cool stuff. Like, you know, in Barbie Princess and the Pop Star or whatever, where she uses the brush and you can change your appearance.
I don't think I've seen that one.
It's not worth it. It's like Princess and the Pauper, but like, modern.
Princess and the Pauper is elite.
It is elite. It's the best Barbie movie. No one can tell us otherwise.
I feel like you have like a stage, like a Barbie stage when you're younger.
Yeah.
And then when you're like 12 or 13, you're like, oh, this is so not cool. And then you hit like
20
and you're like, this is literally a masterpiece.
Great. I love it.
I miss the good old days.
Same. We can still watch it.
Yeah.
We can marathon.
Hmm.
Love it. Anyways, so obviously all their appearances are changed. And yeah, Reed has a weird nose. I don't know. He got a nose job or something like that. But they head to the witches' area, I guess, where they're gathered.
Yeah, I think there's like a bunch of people kind of walking towards the chateau. And Reed just like, actually, no, Reed does not have a weird nose. I'm remembering it now. I think Beau does.
Yeah, he does.
So Madame LaBelle has obviously disguised them, and there's a bunch of witches heading towards the chateau. Like, I think this is everyone invited to the ball / festival.
Yeah.
So they're all like going towards, and Reed, I'm pretty sure he looks super hunky, even though obviously he was already super hunky.
Mm.
And he's kind of just like walking up, and the witches are like, "Ooh, you're so pretty. You can be my consort." So they're like kind of all heading off. And then Reed's like, "But what about my lovely friend here?" Like gesturing to Beau. And they're like, "Oh, he's kind of ugly." And he's like, "But he's my brother. I won't go anywhere without him."
Oh.
And they're like, yeah, fine, I guess. And they take Ansel along too because I'm pretty sure he's just average looking.
So Beau's the duff.
Oh, yeah. Beau's like a literal crone. He's like so ugly, apparently.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're like, he's literally so ugly and Beau's super put out.
Oh, but he's a prince. That's how he got all that attention. I get it.
Yeah.
Yes. So they arrive at the festival and all these witches are there, obviously, because, you know, it's their gather time, and they see Lou, I think, at the front, like on maybe like a stage or something. It's elevated, and she's been suspended in the air by magic, like held.
I picture it kind of like, you know, the really bad Shadowhunters TV series?
Yes.
When Valentine takes Jocelyn Frey.
Yeah.
And like kidnaps her, and she just like lies there in some kind of weird floaty parallel.
Yeah.
Situation.
No, I was thinking the same.
I get
thing.
That kind of vibe from Lou.
Same.
Anyway, and La Dame de Sorcières, Morgane LeBlanc, is at the front. She's giving like some speech, and all the witches are like, blessed be. Like everyone's doing. Anyway, there's just a lot of blessed bees going on.
Yes, very handmaidy, but it's fine.
And then Madame LaBelle kind of whispers to Reed and Ansel and Beau, pretty much all out of magic, I'm gonna hang outside. Also, no one here can recognize me because they totally estranged me years ago.
Yes.
So I'm gonna chill outside, but wait for my signal before you free Lou.
Yeah, don't be dumbasses.
Yes. So this sacrificial ceremony is going on, and it's getting almost to the point where Lou has to be sacrificed. Reed's starting to panic.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, I do not want to watch my wife have her throat slit.
Yes.
That's not a vibe at all.
No.
And yeah, I guess they're trying to come up with a distraction all whilst Morgane is doing the speech. And she's like, we must sacrifice my daughter, my brave daughter, my only daughter. Like all of that stupid stuff.
Screw you. Oh, my gosh.
I know. And then Morgane's like, but fear not. I have a gift for my daughter. And she brings out Madame LaBelle. And then grabs a dagger and plunges it into her heart.
It's literally the worst, like, audience participation act ever. Like, bad. This is bad. No one likes this magic trick. Come on.
This is a bad magic show.
Yeah, this is why LaBelle didn't want to sit on the front row so she wouldn't get called out. And then they pulled her out from the back. It's rude.
So rude.
Right? And so, obviously, Reed is devastated, like he's really panicked, and he's like, no, like from the crowd.
Yeah. And Morgane's like, no, who said that?
And who said that?
Where did that come from?
And Lou's like awake now and she's begging Morgan. She's like, please, please don't hurt him. And Morgan kind of, I guess, uses like a little flick of the witch and starts like slamming Lou everywhere.
Yeah, it reminds me of in The Incredibles when that...
No, that's exactly what I'm thinking as well.
When the big robot thing with the octopus tentacles and stuff.
The guy with the red hair.
Yeah. And he's just like waving his entire family around. Like,
yeah, exactly like that. That's what I'm picturing. Except obviously like with magic.
Yeah, exactly.
And then she's kind of like, she who drinks this concoction will die, which didn't really make sense to me. But sure, whatever. That's what happens in sacrificial ceremonies, I guess.
That's right.
And then Morgan forces Lou to drink the concoction.
Yes. Yes. And so Lou's drinking the concoction. And so Coco lunges at Morgan and, like, stabs her in the neck.
What a great move from Coco.
Right? Love a good Coco. Like, good audience participation, Coco. And to defend herself, Morgan's just there like, for chill.
I mean, I think.
Yeah. Coco gets overpowered.
There was a lot going on in this scene. I was a little overwhelmed.
Yeah, it was very chaotic. But we know that both Coco and Morgan are both injured in some way.
Yes. And Coco collapses.
Yes. So now they got no defense.
Yes. And Ansel's like, oh my god, we literally need a distraction so badly. Bo starts singing Big Titty Liddy at the top of his lungs.
Yes. I love it.
Everyone is like, what the fuck is going on? And they're all just like screaming Big Titty Liddy.
That's the best distraction.
You would love to be in on that. I can tell.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Would love it.
Like a whole ass choir.
Big Titty Liddy was not very pretty.
Exactly.
Love it. So now Reed can kind of focus on more things because, I don't know, everyone's quieted down a tiny little bit. So Reed spots the Archbishop. And during this, Morgan lunges at Lou and slashes her throat.
I was shook.
Same. I was like, are they about to kill right now?
Yeah, look, I was not expecting that coming at all.
Neither.
I was like, surely they do not kill the main character.
Yeah, in the first book.
That's a dog act.
It is a dog act. Worst show ever.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, and Reed, I feel like his heart just breaks in his chest.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden he sees this kind of gold shimmery cord connecting the Archbishop and Lou.
Yes.
And he makes this connection. He's like, life for a life, someone I love for someone I love. And he picks up a knife and he stabs the Archbishop.
Yeah, to trade.
I have no words.
It's really not great to meet your father-in-law like in that situation and just stab him.
That's not what I was thinking at all.
Not cool.
I was more thinking this guy's pretty much Reed's dad.
He
raised him.
But that shows you how much Lou means to him.
What a sweet act. But also not really a vibe.
He could have used Morgan.
But he doesn't love Morgan.
Yeah, that's true.
He has to trade someone he loves for anyway, and we're all like, what the heck is going on? Reed has magic?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, all the chasseurs come in, Jean-Luc leading them, and he, like, sees Reed holding, I think, the dagger that killed the Archbishop, and he's like, bro!
Why you do that?
Why? And then he grabs out a bow and arrow and shoots at Reed.
Yeah, but I think he misses.
Surely.
Well, Jean-Luc ain't great. That's why Reed beat him and became That's a why... captain.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was gonna say. So either way, Reed's like, oh my god, gotta take this opportunity. He grabs Lou and just starts, like, running to the exit to get to their kind of side camp situation.
Yes. And to save Lou, Coco needed to mix blood and honey because she's a blood witch, so she knows how to, you know, heal people, do some stuff with that. And so she mixes her blood with some honey and gives it to Lou to heal her.
And whilst, I guess, she's got her blood out, she's like, I'm gonna quickly smear this in Simba style across all your heads. Because it will, I guess, make them invisible to Morgan. Like a bit of a protection situation.
Yes, exactly. And I guess since Lou's been saved and they've kind of gotten away for now, everything's calming down a little bit more. And Madame LaBelle and Reed actually get to talk because, you know, she escaped too. She ain't dead.
I can't even remember Madame LaBelle recovering, but I guess Coco did some cool blood and honey situation with Madame LaBelle as well.
Yeah, she casually got stabbed, but she's okay.
Yeah. And then Reed kind of explains what happens. And Madame LaBelle is like, you're a witch, Reed.
You're a wizard, Harry.
Exactly. And he's like, I'm a what? And she's like, you're a witch.
It's a life revelation, but still.
It's a pretty dramatic moment for him.
It is, because he hates himself now.
Well, yeah. And yeah, I guess Reed's still shook, and they're kind of talking, and Madame LaBelle and Reed are kind of chatting about how everyone's going to be after Lou now. And he's like, why the fuck is everyone in this kingdom trying to murder my wife?
Reed.
And then Coco and Lou come over, and Lou's awake now. And then we switch to Lou's perspective, and the first thing she hears is Reed saying fuck. And she's like, what is going on?
What have you done to my husband?
I don't know if I'm more shocked that he's a witch, or that...
He just swore.
He said the F word.
Right. In her mind, she's like, the F word?
The F word?
She's like, have we swapped?
You know what? I feel like Reed's the kind of guy who says fudge instead of fuck.
Yeah. No, he'd be like, damn, sticky bun.
Oh, yeah. He would have really creative curses, I feel.
Yeah.
But at the same time, he'd be like, oh, the...
La vie en fromage.
That's literally... I just couldn't get it out. I was laughing too hard. Anyway, on that note, Madame LaBelle and Coco leave to give Lou and Reed a moment alone.
Yes.
And Reed is having a crisis.
He is.
He's really sad because he's like... Why aren't you angry with me? I was so mean to you. Like, I loathe myself for this.
Yeah.
And Lou's like, oh my god, no. I knew who you were. I knew what you believed. And I fell in love with you anyway. Yeah, Reed's crying now.
Yeah, because I also think he can see that it's kind of the similar situation that he had with her. Like, about her. Like, he's like, I accept you for all you are. So thank you for accepting me.
Yeah, but I also guess he didn't know... He didn't accept her fully, I guess, because she was a witch and he didn't know.
No, but then he was like, I do love her anyways.
Yeah, but, like, this is the first time we've spoken since
yeah,
then.
Yeah, that's true, that's true.
Like, we don't know what's going on.
Yeah, true.
And, yeah, Lou's kind of like, I'm so sorry, I shouldn't have lied. And he's like, I said some terrible things. And she's like, yeah, you did actually.
Good girl for calling him out.
And good boy for acknowledging you did the wrong thing.
What a man.
And he's like, I didn't mean any of them except one. And by now I was like, oh my god, Reed, no.
You were doing so well.
You were doing so well. And then he says, I love you, Lou. Which kind of confuses me a little. Because he's like, I said so many terrible things, but I only meant one. It was that I love you. He
said so many terrible things.
But I love you is not a terrible thing.
Maybe he thought that he said...
Maybe he means like, I said a lot of things. But only one of them was true.
Yeah, but he was, you know, a little bit winded from running around and trying to save yeah. everyone's lives.
Exactly.
We'll excuse him this time.
And then Lou repeats back to him, where you go, I will go. And then they kiss.
So cute. And after this little kumbaya moment, they go back to the crew.
They do. And Bo is like, he's Posh Spice.
He is Posh Spice. He cannot drink water that hasn't come out of a nice, lovely fountain.
He has dirt on his fingertips.
No, where's his pedicure boy at?
Yeah, he's just not vibing. And Coco's, like, cooking some rabbit that she caught or something. And Bo's like, I totally did that. And Ansel's like, no, you literally suck at camping.
Yeah, Ansel is loving this.
Ansel would be really good at camping, I think.
Oh, absolutely. They have to do those drills and stuff. Like, they'd have to be able to survive because chasseurs are, like, in the wild all the time.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah. But I also think Ansel's not actually a chasseur.
Yeah. Training, though. So maybe
yeah, but either way, like, I think even if he wasn't a chasseur, he seems like the kind of guy who'd be really good at camping. Like, he'd pack his little pack and then, like, toddle off down the hiking trails.
He'd take a day hike.
Exactly, exactly. Cute. I guess to talk about more important things... Madame LaBelle admits that she met with Jean-Luc.
Yes.
At the chateau. And she basically was like, hey, you know, come help us out. And that's why Jean-Luc turned up.
Yeah.
That's how he got to the chateau. Because you do need a dame blanche to get to the chateau.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's basically why they kind of all got caught.
Yep.
Awesome stuff.
Yes.
And so now they all have to go into hiding because the king will be mad, first of all, that Lou is a witch and there are...
And there's literally witches everywhere.
Witches everywhere. And second of all, that Reed killed the archbishop.
Yes.
So they're basically all criminals now. Awesome.
And not only will the king be after them, but Morgan still wants to kill Lou.
Yeah, nothing's changed with that department.
No, you'd think she'd get tired of it. But no, she's still murderous.
Nah, she's only getting started, I reckon.
And in order to save them or protect them, LaBelle says that she needs to find King August, because if they have a nice little chat and she can convince him to protect them, then that's good. And they also used to have a little thing going on, so she thinks that if he still loves her, which she believes he does, he'll be able to provide that sort of protection.
Yeah, look, I think she's hoping for something that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's very wishful thinking. I feel like maybe Madame LaBelle was a one-night stand.
Yeah, she don't mean that much, but it's fine.
And even if she did mean a lot, I still don't think King August would put aside his hatred for witches for her.
Yeah, definitely not. Like, unless it's like a Lewin Reed situation.
Especially, I feel like August maybe does not know that Madame LaBelle is a witch.
No.
And I think once he finds out, yeah, that love is gone.
Absolutely. I mean, we love a nice, strong love thing, but in this case,
it's... Maybe not this one.
Yeah, that's right.
But they just kind of, I guess, in general, agree they still need protection. And Coco's like, well, maybe we can go to my aunt. And Reed's like, oh, who's your aunt? And she's like, Dame Lavoisin. And Reed's like, shit. And that is how the book ends.
It is. I like that ending.
I loved it. I thought it was terrific.
Yeah, it really keeps us wanting more and waiting.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh my God, thank God I bought both books at the same time, because I just picked up Blood and Honey straight after. I was like, let's go.
Yeah, exactly. Well, what were your overall thoughts about this book?
I loved it. It was one of my favorite reads of 2020.
Yeah, I've got to say, this is the first book I've read in 2021 so far, and I really enjoyed it.
I love enemies to lovers, especially I love the trope where they have to get in a relationship that's fake, but then they love each other.
Yes, love it. Strong Bridgerton vibes.
Oh, yes.
Obsessed.
Literally, though. Yeah. Like, Serpent and Dove is literally, like, the fantasy version of Bridgerton.
Yeah, very true.
I love it.
Same.
And honestly, I haven't read that many books about witches, but I loved this book, and I think I need to read more books that involve witches. Yes, so if you guys have any witch book recommendations, send them on through. I need more.
Yes, absolutely. We would love that. And don't suggest Harry Potter. Don't give us that shit.
We've been there, done that. That is of the past.
Yeah, way too many times. But yes, please give us recommendations on any of our following platforms. They'll all be linked in the description.
Yes, under our link tree.
Yes, perfect. And I also like how it takes a different spin on it. Like, not all witches do the same thing.
Mm.
And it's not about spells. It's about, like, patterns.
I thought that was so interesting.
Same. And I love that things had a consequence and you have to find a way to, like, definitely go around it.
It definitely spiced up the novel, the things they had to sacrifice in order to perform certain patterns/magic.
Yeah, exactly. No, I really liked it overall. I loved the world building. It gave me exactly what I needed at the exact pages that I needed. I just loved it.
It was terrific. Mm-hmm. I thought it was so great.
Me too. And I can't wait to start reviewing the next book.
Yes, it'll be super great.
Yes.
So I guess that concludes today's episode.
Yes, we really hope you guys enjoyed this second part of our review for Serpent and Dove. And we can't wait to have you join us next week for the first half of Blood and Honey.
Yes, it'll be an interesting review.
It will.
So we'll see you guys next week.
Bye!